This morning I'm going to do something I've very seldom done. I'm going to preach not necessarily on something that as I was thinking about what to preach on, instead of thinking about what the congregation really needed, I thought about something I really needed, and so I'm going to preach to myself, but it's really because of some things that have happened in the last week. And in fact, this is taken from a sermon that I preached several years ago, in fact in Pine Bluff. And I had a lot of brethren then tell me, you know, I really appreciated that lesson. And so I want to ask you a question, and I've not thought about it a whole lot myself, so I think it's important that we think about something. What kind of funeral do you want? What kind of funeral do you want? It's not something that we just go around thinking about all the time, is it? It's not something we think about and we enjoy thinking about, but it is something we need to think about. But what do you think about when you think about it? When you think about your funeral, what goes through your mind? Now, I really do, from my heart, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate all the wonderful things that you did for me and for my dad, my brother and sister this past week. It's been overwhelming, actually. And as I said Wednesday morning at my mother's funeral, I don't know how people can make it without a church family. I don't know how people can go through life without loving people around them, to care for them, to help them, to strengthen them. I don't know how people can make it without the Lord. I don't know how they can do it. I tell you what, the Lord strengthens, the Lord helps, the Lord comforts. And what a wonderful thing it is to live a life with hope. You know, it's just wonderful. And without that hope, it must be a miserable life. It must be miserable. But I'm so glad I have it. My mother had it. And I hope that you have it. And this morning, that's one of the things we're going to think about. Now, the Bible says in James chapter 4, and verses 13 through 15, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Everything, friend, that we do should be in that light. What does the Lord want me to do? How am I serving the Lord in this thing? And I need to think about whether it's the Lord's will or not. And, you know, death is a reality that we all have to face. It is a certainty that we cannot avoid. It is something that all of us at one time or another must face. Genesis 3 and verse 19 says, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Death is a certainty, and we cannot change that fact by ignoring it, by not thinking about it. We need to think about it. We need to prepare in our life for our death. Death is a certainty. Job 20 and verse 20, or verse chapter 30 and verse 23 says, "For I know that you will bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living." Every human being, unless you're one of those few lucky ones that will be alive and remaining when the Lord returns from the glories of heaven on that great day, the day of the Lord, if you're alive when He comes, then you will not experience death, but you will experience a change immediately in the twinkling of an eye, and you will be caught up to meet the Lord, and with Him you will ever be if you're righteous. But of course, if you're not, you will be brought before the judgment seat of Christ to be condemned. Of course, the righteous will be, again, before judgment. But we will hear those words, "Enter into the joys of thy Lord." And that would be a wonderful thing. But death is a reality for all men. In Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 and 2, the wise man said, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." What an oxymoron that is. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. You know what? Somebody who has hope, that's exactly right. No question about that. A servant of God, that's exactly right. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. And we have birthday parties, you know, commemorating the birthdays that we have. And we expect people to give us presents. And we really do look forward to our birthdays until we get to a certain age. And then we stop looking forward to our birthdays. And then we want to forget our birthdays. But birthdays are, you know, they're not that important. They're not that big of a deal. It's the day of death that we're all living for. Every birthday is pointing to that day. And all of us will see that day. The day of death, he says, is better than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why is that? Because there you learn something, he says. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Far better to go to a place where you stop and you contemplate about your life and about the end of your life than go to a party somewhere and have a good time. It is much better for you to go to a place where you think soberly, that you place yourself in reality and you think about the end of all things. But notice he says, better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. We all are going to face that someday. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now this, in the context, is dealing with Jesus Christ and that He only died once, He only had to suffer once for the sins of the world. He only suffered once. But the point is, okay, men die once. That's what Jesus did. But we die once. And after this, the judgment. We do die. But I don't know when my time of death is going to be. Nor do you. The time of death is uncertain. You know, my mother had been in the hospital several times in the last few years. She had a couple of close calls, in fact, just this year. She had blood clots that went to her lungs, and she almost lost her then. That recurred, and we almost lost her again. And she fell about a week and a half ago, hitting her head, had 32 stitches to sew up her head. She was on that blood thinner because of her blood clotting problems, and she almost bled to death. So she almost passed away a week and a half ago. And then, she had a little scratch on her leg. A little scratch. Became infected. And her body went into septic shock last Saturday. And within 30 hours from the time they realized something was wrong, she'd passed away. A little cut on the leg. Time of death is uncertain. We don't have any idea. You never know what's going to happen. Automobile accident. You never know what's going to happen. Wrong place at the wrong time. You never know what's going to happen. Some disease strikes you. Some slow, some take years, some just a matter of hours. We never know when our time of death will come. But how we prepare for and face death is up to us. What kind of funeral do you want? You know what? We make some choices along that line, don't we? We make some choices. And we need to, and we must do that while we live, while we have opportunity. Sometimes when we think about the funeral that we want to have, we think about, well, what kind of coffin am I going to be buried in? We went up to the funeral home and we were looking at all the coffins there at Ralph Robinson. And my dad, you know, he's not a cheapskate by any stretch of the imagination, but he is very limited in the amount of money that he can spend. So he's looking at the cheaper coffins. And my sister, she was wanting that coffin. And that coffin cost almost $4,000. We all had to put our foot down and say, no, we're not going to get that one. Now, we let her pick the color. But we went with the cheaper kind of coffin. You know, in reality, it doesn't make any difference. Bury me in a pine box in the backyard underneath the oak tree, or I don't care. I guess it matters whether it's under a tree or not. It doesn't matter. you know, my body's going to decay. But all that's going to be for naught when the Lord comes back. So it really doesn't make any difference what I'm buried in, whether I'm buried in anything at all. It doesn't matter. But that's something that we think about a lot of times. You know, what color coffin do we want? And we think about that. And we went back, in fact, and she showed us all these vaults to put the coffin in. Well, we didn't get any of that stuff. But that's something a lot of people are concerned about. You know, they're worried about moisture and stuff getting in there. Well, the body's going to decay anyway. We're all going to go back to the dust from whence we came. We can slow the process all we want to, but it's not going to have any effect. It's not going to matter. But that's something we think about when we think about our funeral. Which funeral home will handle my funeral? My dad had a policy with Hale South in Pine Bluff, and as we were talking, in fact, it was last Sunday, we were talking about, and we had to make a decision. And my dad asked, you know, well, what funeral home should we use? And working with the funeral homes in Pine Bluff, I was very familiar with them all. And I recommended Ralph Robinson because they were just, they're more professional than any of the rest of them. That's just my association and my working with them. That's my experience. And I'm glad he chose that. But he had chosen Hell South, but, you know, we were able to swap that. So it doesn't make that much difference what you choose beforehand. Ralph Robinson honored their previous policy with Hale South, which was really good of them. Well, we can stop and think about, well, which funeral home will we want? Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Certainly, at the time, it will matter, but we can, you know, it's not going to make any difference who makes the arrangements. Who will preach my funeral? I'm going to tell this. My mama would spank me if she found out. Clarence Fell. Last couple of years, my mother's taken all kinds of medicine that did affect her thinking some. And she would have these spells where she thought that people were talking about her all the time, especially Clarence. She thought that every sermon Clarence preached was preached directly to her because he looked at her. And, you know, she wouldn't have minded Clarence preaching her funeral. I know that. She didn't really believe that, but she thought that from time to time, and I'd have to talk her out of it. Oh, he's not preaching to you. Did it make you feel guilty? Well, if it made you feel guilty, then okay. But she had that idea that people had been talking about her, and Clarence had picked up on it, and he was preaching to her. But Clarence Fell preached her funeral. I'm sure that she would have preferred Ed die, because they go way back. It's nothing personal. It's just they go way back. But Ed's sick. Ed wasn't capable of doing it, so we didn't even talk to him about it. But Clarence preached the funeral. But you know what? It doesn't make a lot of difference who preaches the funeral. You can't hear what's being said. Now, the question is, what did you give the preacher to talk about? We'll talk about that in a minute. Or the order and the activities during my service. My sister wanted a country western song played during the service. And again, had to put her foot down on that one. Daddy said, no. So, you know, we can plan those things out and think about what we want and the kind of songs we want and that kind of stuff. Of course, one of the biggest questions is, do I have life insurance? We need to have some kind of preparation so our family is not burdened and all of that. We need to think about these things. I'm not saying we shouldn't think about these things, but these are the things that we think about when we think about a funeral, aren't they? These are normally the things we think about. Do I have life insurance? Certainly that's important. But here are some things that we really need to consider that are much, much, much more important than those things. Number one, instead of where I'm buried on this earth, have I been buried into Christ? Have you been buried into Christ this morning? Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. Know you not that so many of you have been baptized into Christ and then baptized into His death? Buried with Him, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Have you been buried with Christ? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? If you haven't, that's something you better think about. Have I put my life and death in the hands of the Lord? It doesn't make any difference about the funeral home so much as it does the Lord. Because, friend, when I die, I am going, my soul, my spirit is going where? To the Lord who made it. And I'm going to be before Him. And one day I'm going to stand in judgment before Him. I need to put my life and death in the hands of the Lord. Trust Him. Obey Him. Serve Him. And what kind of material, instead of wondering about who's going to preach my funeral, what kind of material have I provided for whoever it may be? I mean, can he get up there and can he say truthfully that this was a godly person? Truthfully that this person was a servant, a faithful servant of the Lord? I told the story before, rather a humorous story, about the two brothers, the two sinful, drunkard, adulterating brothers lived in this town. Everybody knew them. And one of them died. So the other brother goes down and gets the preacher there in town. Would you preach the funeral? I'll give you $100,000 if you'll preach the funeral of my brother. But you have to say he was a great man, a good man, and a righteous man. The preacher had a dilemma. He knew what kind of fellow this fellow was. And he knew he couldn't lie. But he agreed to go ahead and preach the funeral. So he got up and he was preaching the funeral and he said, this man was a drunkard. He was an adulterer. He was all these things. He was profligate. But compared to his brother, he was a great man. Well, what kind of material have we provided for whoever it may be that preaches our funeral? Have we given them good material to work with by serving the Lord, being faithful? Can he get up and honestly say, this person was a faithful servant of the Lord? You know, no preacher can preach anybody into heaven. A preacher can't do that. But he can get up and he can tell the truth about what he saw. You know, you do put off works. You shall know them by their fruit, Jesus said. And we can tell by looking at a person's life what kind of person they are. And we know that God is faithful. Have I provided a positive influence for others? Have I lived my life in such a way that other people are positively influenced? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, you're the salt of the earth. Says in verse 15 and 16, you are the light of the world. Our influence is very important. And you know, the way that we have lived our life has affected people. You cannot live your life in a vacuum. It's impossible. You have affected somebody by the way you've lived your life. What about your children? How have you influenced them? I want to tell you right now, you can't go back and you can't correct things after you're gone. You can't go back and fix the mistakes that you've made. You cannot correct the bad influence that you leave behind. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abel. Though he is dead, he yet speaketh. Influence is a powerful thing. Positive influence is a great thing. What kind of influence are you leaving behind? This is something that you need to consider about your funeral. I mean, the day of death is coming. Am I living my life as a positive influence, a positive role model, as someone that someone can follow and get to heaven? Am I doing that? Is my life lived in such a way that I am encouraging people to go to heaven when they die? And I'll honestly say my mother did that. Eternal life insurance. Got a tract back there in the vestibule. Eternal life insurance. What about that? We've made perhaps our prearrangements for our funeral. We've picked the place. We've got the plots of ground that we're going to be buried in. We've made all the arrangements. But what about spiritually? Have we been buried in Christ and are we living for Him? Are you serving the Lord faithfully? These are some things that we need to consider. Now here are some things that will matter. The day of my funeral, whenever that day may come. You know, the preacher gets up and he talks about so-and-so was born on such and such a day and was passed away on such and such a day. You know, the day that I was born physically is not going to make any difference on the day of my funeral. Really? Really, it's not. Now, the preachers all say it as they read the obituary. But what will really matter was if I was born spiritually, John 3:5. You must be born again. That's what really matters. Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ and raised to walk in newness of life? It's not when you're born physically, but whether or not you were born spiritually. It's not where you lived. And that's something else the obituaries all talk about. You know, where the person lived, where they were from, kind of schooling that they had. But it's not where you live, but did you live for Christ? That's the question. Did you serve the Lord? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul lived for the one who died for him, and we must do the same thing. Jesus died that we may live, and we must live for him who died for us. Not where you live, but did you live for Christ? It's not the clothes you wore, but the character that you wore. You know, the preacher may say something about this person was a person of modest means, and you know, we may be concerned about, you know, the clothes that our loved one is wearing in the casket. But you know, that's not the important thing. Is what really matters is the character that person had while alive. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. There you have defined and described the kind of character that we as Christians must have. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Clothing that you put on. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, that's the Christian attire. That will matter on the day of judgment. It's not the material blessings that you might have been blessed with. And the preacher may talk about all the things that you've done in life, all the many advancements, the amount of money that you've made. But what will matter is what you did with those things. You may not have had much. But what did you do with what you had? You might have had a lot. What did you do with it? That's what's going to matter. That's really what's going to matter on the day of judgment. It's not how far you traveled, but what you did along the way that's going to make the difference. It doesn't make any difference whether you're one of these world travelers. I mean, you've gone all over the place. Paul Hales there in Pine Bluff. Well, I tell you what, I would like to do what he does. Every year he takes two or three trips, you know, gets in his Winnebago, it's not a Winnebago anymore. It's one of these big, nice, fancy things, you know. Travels around all over the United States. I'd love to do that sometime, but it's not how far you travel. It's not what all you've seen. It's what you did along the way. Along the way of life. The life that you traveled. What did you do? Did you help people? Did you encourage people? What kind of influence did you provide along the way? And again, you can't go back, Luke 16:19-31. The rich man, he wanted to go. He wanted to leave from that place of torment. He wanted to go back, and he wanted to tell his brothers about the place he was in so that they wouldn't come there. He couldn't do that. He tried to get Lazarus to be sent back by Abraham to tell him. Couldn't do that. You can't change what you've done in the past. It's not how far you traveled, but what you did along the way that matters. And it's not the positions that you held. Oh, this individual rose to this height in this business and had all these positions and all these civic organizations. What difference does it make if you didn't use your positions and the place that you held to serve people, to serve God? What difference does it make? You see, we need to serve the Lord. Those who are greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who serve. It's not those who are served. These are some things that will truly matter. What kind of funeral do you want? You know, it's not how you die, but how you live that matters. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole This is man's all. This is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. It's not how we die that's important. Doesn't matter if we are martyred for the cause of Christ, we're beheaded, we're stoned to death, crucified. Doesn't matter how we die. Doesn't matter how we die today, whether it's sickness, disease, accident, birth defect. Doesn't matter. But the reality is, one day we will all face the Lord, and it's how we live that we will be judged. How are you living? You live for that day. Certainly that is the end. That is the day that separates life from death. No question about that. And everything you've done in your life, there's the measuring stick. That's what will be brought up on the day of judgment. And if there are sins that have not been forgiven, those sins will be on your record on the day of judgment. We need to take care of those things. Every work will be brought into judgment, including every secret thing. Now, once something is forgiven, guess what? It's gone. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But how important is it, friend? John 5 and verses 26 and 29, through 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. It's about what you've done in your life that matters. It's about how you serve the Lord that makes the difference. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The day is coming that we will all stand before the Lord and give an account to Him how we lived our life. Are you prepared for that day? Are you ready for that day? In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You can't make up lost time. There is no second chance. We talked about it in our Bible study this morning. We need to be busy today doing what we have the opportunity to do. It's not how you die, but how you live your life that matters. The day of salvation is when? Today. Not tomorrow. That's what the devil would love. The devil is satisfied. He's content. If he can just get you to say, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll serve the Lord tomorrow. I'll be faithful to the Lord tomorrow. I'll turn my life around tomorrow. That's what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to do it today. He wants you to serve Him today. The devil wants you to do it tomorrow. That's what he wants. And as long as he can get you to do that, he'll be tickled to death. He's got you. Today is the day of salvation. Today, we must do what we can do as opportunity comes along. Hebrews 3 and verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the day of rebellion. Do not harden your hearts. Had a question on the radio program this past week about Pharaoh. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? God told simply Pharaoh something to do that Pharaoh did not want to do. And you know what? The more God told Pharaoh to do what Pharaoh didn't want to do, the harder his heart got. And I hope that's not you. I hope that you're not procrastinating. You're continually putting off obeying the Lord. I hope you're not putting serving the Lord off day by day. Today is the day of salvation. Because the problem is, the more that you put the Lord off, the easier it's going to be to put Him off. You need to accept the Lord today and obey the Lord today. Serve the Lord starting today. That's what you must do if you're going to serve Him. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. It's important that we serve the Lord today, because I'll tell you something, friend. You know, you'll never get today back. After it's gone. Never can you go back, turn the clock back, and relive a life. Can't do that. You cannot go back and make up the mistakes that you made with your children. You cannot turn the clock back and go back and make up lost time that you missed with your spouse. You cannot go back and you cannot relive your life. That's why today it is important to serve the Lord, serve other people, be the person that you ought to be right now. That's preparation, friend. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 unwise. You have their preparedness. You have the 5 wise virgins. They were prepared for the coming of the Lord. They took the time in advance to prepare. That's what you have to do to prepare for the Lord's return. That's what you have to do. Death is a certainty. I know we don't like to think about it. We don't like to think about it. But it's a reality. And we'd better think about it. We'd better live our life in such a way that when that day comes, which we do not know when that'll be, but we'd better live our life in such a way that when that day comes, we're ready. We're ready to face the Lord. When our spirit leaves our bodies and ascends into the presence of God, will we be ready to face Him? Well, if you're not living for the Lord today, you're in serious jeopardy. You need to serve the Lord today. How will we prepare for and face death? You know, that's up to us. We do make the choice. Aren't you glad God gave you a choice as to whether to serve Him or not? Aren't you glad that God gave you His Word for guidance, for instruction, that leads you from this life to eternity? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and came to the earth, gave His life so that you can have eternal life if you'll serve Him? Aren't you glad that God has given this wonderful word of promise and hope? Boy, I would hate to live a life without hope. I would hate to face death without serving the Lord. And if you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what you had better do before it is everlastingly too late. I'm not trying to scare you into anything. That's not the purpose. But I am trying to get you to think about it. And if fear motivates you to obey the Lord, so be it. That's fine. But I want you to know something else. There's a flip side to that coin. Heaven's a wonderful place. Eternity with God is a wonderful thing. Being with the saints of all ages is a wonderful thought. Singing praises to God for all eternity is a great, great opportunity that we all have. Don't turn away from that. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not now? If you have obeyed the gospel, you've turned away from the Lord, you're not serving Him as you should, you better think about the end of all things. You better think about the day that you stand before the Lord. And you better make preparation today by confessing your sin, repenting of those things that are missing in your life. Get your life right with God. Whatever your state this morning, let's think about these things and let us determine to serve God so that we can be prepared to face the judgment. If you're here, you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?